But because of the reactions of our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also upon all others who are suffering, and by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us.
Do I have water? Is this it?
And do I get extra minutes because we started late? Who's the referee? I'm just checking because, well, it's 3 minutes after. Okay. Hare Krishna. This verse the devotees picked and sent to me, and it's a beautiful verse. It's Prahlad Maharaj praying to Lord Nrisimhadev, and he was the only one that Lord Nrisimhadev would accept prayers from. The demigods had offered prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev with beautiful Sanskrit composition, and he was still angry. And therefore they pushed Prahlad Maharaj forward, 5-year-old boy. Srila Prabhupada said, as if it's like pushing a 5-year-old child into the cage of a lion. And Prahlad Maharaj said that all these demigods have offered prayers with perfect composition. They know Sanskrit. And they're also born in the mode of goodness. But who am I? I'm born in a demoniac family, and I don't know Sanskrit. And then he remembered Gajendra, the elephant. That Gajendra was an animal, but because he sincerely offered prayers to the Lord, Bhaktya tu tosha bhagavan gajayutapaya, because he had bhakti, and he offered from his heart, Prahlad Maharaj said. Therefore, the Lord accepted it. So Prahlad Maharaj said, anyone with sincere feeling who offers prayers to the Lord will be accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These prayers were favorites of Srila Prabhupada. He lived in the mood of these prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, in which he's showing and feeling compassion for others, for the fallen conditioned souls. Material life is a condition of hard-heartedness. From the spiritual world comes a flow of love. This is spoken about throughout the Shastras. There's a song by Narottam Das Thakur about how Lord Nityananda, seeing that the flow of love of Godhead had been stopped up, cut a channel in it to let it flow out into the world. In the prayers by Srinivasacharya about the six Goswamis, he says that they were expert in pouring songs about Govinda on the conditioned souls, and therefore reawakening their love for God. This flow is actually coming all the time, but I miss it. Evam sokarma patitam bhava vaitaranyam. Because of my own karma. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, because of this sentence that I have, as soon as I'm born into this world, I'm sentenced. Anyonya janma maranashana bhita bhitam. He says over and over again, I'm taking birth and I have to die again. And it's like a sentence. I'm in debt and therefore I must work very hard. Devarshi bhutapta drinam pitrinam nakinkaro nayam rani charajan. Sarvatmara yasharanam sharanyam kuto mukundam parihrita kartam. Karbhajana Muni said, that is, soon as someone's born in this world, they're a rini. Rini means they're a debtor. I owe to everyone. Devas are offering the light and the water. And I think it just comes automatically. When I was in Govardhan, staying at the ashram 2 years ago, I was sitting and I was thinking that I'd been there for 2 weeks, sitting for prasadam. The brahmacharis come in and they serve nice prasadam. And I began to think, I don't even know where the kitchen is. And I also don't know who the cook is either. And I thought, well, I could just conclude that all this prasadam just happens by chance. It just shows up here every day. And then I looked out into the courtyard, because it's open air, you can see out, and I saw the light, and there was nature moving in its course. And I thought, I could also conclude that that's moving and just by chance also. But when I actually went and found the kitchen and I looked inside and I saw who was cooking, I had a great appreciation that someone was doing it and it was being orchestrated. So material life, devarshi bhutatnam drinam pitrinam, everyone's giving me something. I'm fully dependent at every second. My body, my mind, whatever I have in this world, I'm a debtor to others. But I have no appreciation. And therefore, karma. Karma means I'm moving by that force of debt. Because I owe, I have to go and work. I have to move from one place to the next. And it's very difficult to do that. The material world is called Durga, which means Durgachati. It means very difficult to go. Just when I left from San Francisco, just when I thought I had a clear pathway to the plane, I was already in the galleyway. About 10 customs officials were lined up along, and they were stopping people before you even get onto the airplane, just in the galleyway. And so they stopped me, and they asked me, did I have any money? And I said, I did. And they said, do you have any traveler's checks? I said, no, but they're looking. They said, if you have $10,000 or more, you can't bring it from here to there. Luckily or unluckily, I didn't have $10,000. But still, when I got on the plane, I was thinking how difficult it was to get from my house onto the airplane. I had to pass through so many checkpoints, to check the ticket, and then they have to check all my bags, I have to look at my shoes, and I thought, okay, now I can go. And it's like, do you have any money? It's like, why do you care? You know, because everyone wants to know why you're moving around, what you have and what you don't have. It's very difficult to move in the material world. It's also difficult to stay. You can't stay either. Difficult to go or to stay. And so that's the world of karma. But in the spiritual world, there's a different flow, which is described in the Brahma Samhita, where every word is a song and every gate is a dance. And Krishna is constantly with everyone, especially through the vibration of his flute. Sriya kanta kanta parama purusha kalpataravo druma bhumish chintamani ganamai toyam amritam kataganam natyam gamanam api vamshi priyasaki chidanandam jyoti paramapi tarasvadyam apicha sayatra shirabhi sravati surabhi bhyascha sumahan nimeshardhyakyo vav rajati nahiya trapi samayaha. The cows are giving oceans of milk, and cows only give milk out of love. When they have a calf, they love the calf and they'll give milk. Or when they have a caretaker who loves them so much, they take that person as a calf, they also give milk. And in the spiritual world, there are oceans of milk flowing from the cows. And people are moving because they're dancing, not because they have to go to work. In fact, even in the description in the Srimad Bhagavatam of the kingdom of God, it says there are flower airplanes going from here to there, and Srila Prabhupada notes, for pleasure trips only. There's no business being conducted. No business being conducted in the spiritual world. It's only happiness. And that movement is going on. Evam sukarma patitam bhava vaitaranyam. And this vaitarani is a demarcation between the material and spiritual worlds. There has to be a demarcation. There's a a difference in the consciousness and the way everyone moves between the material and the spiritual worlds. I was thinking this morning about that difference between the spiritual and the material world, and how the prayers of personified Vedas say that the greatest pastime of the Lord is His saving the conditioned souls. And that, what a contrast in this material world where everyone's as if moving as if in a because of a prison sentence, and the Lord comes and He shows His pastimes, as mentioned here, yada yada hi dharma sya glanir bhavati bharata, that Krishna appears out of His mercy to rectify the situation in the material world. And what a contrast it is when He comes here and shows His mercy in the material world. What a wonderful occasion it is when someone contacts the spiritual world. Evam sukarma patitam bhava vaitaranyam anyonya janma maranashana bhita bhitam. And interestingly, he mentions here, anyonya janma maranashana. Marana means death, and janma means birth. And those things are going on one after another. And it's because swakarma, my karma, I'm causing it myself. This is a essential point for advancement in spiritual life. The quintessential feeling of the devotee is that I've caused this, I'm at fault. Evam sukarma patitam. This is my karma. And of course, it's important to hear this and to study it, to also become detached from the goings-on in this material world. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told His followers, just after He had taken sannyas, that as they were leaving, He asked them, did you bring anything with you? And they said, no, because you didn't instruct us to bring anything with us. And He said, very good, because we should only depend on the Lord. Hare Krishna. He said, doesn't matter what you bring or don't bring, because ultimately you're going to get what is supplied to you by your karma anyway. He said, the Lord has filled up the universe with grains and all kinds of food and money. But how much of it can you get? Actually, think about that. The Lord has filled up the universe with food and money. How much can you get? Only as much as your karma will supply. And then he said, even a great king or a prince, sometime he may become angry at someone in an argument and therefore say, I'm not eating today. And therefore he has to not eat. Even though he could eat everything, he has all the food available, but he can't eat that day because he becomes angry. Or someone just about to sit down for a big feast gets a high fever and they can't eat also. So, what's coming to us, evam sukarma patitam bhavavaitaranyam, on this side, this is a mechanical process. It's coming because of our own past activities. Evam sukarma patitam bhavavaitaranyam anyonya janma maranashana bhita bhitam. And he mentions here that people are eating horrible things. Mananashana, ashana, bhita bhitam, and are very full of fear. So, this fearful condition is due to forgetting Krishna. Karbhajana Muni says this in his instructions to Maharaj Nimi. Bhayam dvitiya abhinibeshita syad ishad apetasya viparya yosmitihi. That's When we forget Krishna, then immediately we're fearful. Bhita bhitam, become full of fear. And this fearful condition can be rectified by seeing Krishna everywhere. There are two verses in the Sri Upanishad, 6 and 7. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmani vanu pashyati. Sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tato na vijugupsate. One who sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and sees the Supreme Lord within everything never hates anything or any being. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmai vadbhut vijanataha tatra ko mahokashoka ekatvam anupashyataha. One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks and quality one with the Lord, becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? Solves all the problems. So this fear is rectified by remembering Krishna. As soon as I see everything in relationship to Krishna, and I understand that he's perfect, and he's also the supreme controller. This is brought out in the very beginning of the Sri Rish Upanishad. Om Purnam Ada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachite Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnam Eva Vishishite. That the personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. And because he is completely perfect, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. And those units are also complete in themselves when they emanate from Krishna. And the next verse says that he is the controller of everything and owner of everything. Isha vashamidam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bhunjita magrida kasya suddhanam. Everything animate or inanimate within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. Just those two verses solve all the problems of life and eliminate all fear. My fear is because I'm going to lose something, including this body or anything that I have. But I want to understand it's all owned by Krishna anyway and controlled by Krishna. And that intention to be personal, it is infectious, actually. When I was in high school, I saw a film called Courtesy is Contagious. And I still remember it to this day. It was driver education. It was a man pulling out of his driveway, and he let the other guy go. And then it followed that person, and that person had a, you know, he felt impressed that this other person let him go. So he let, you know, it went through. It showed how one person's thoughtfulness carried on to the next person. Pretty soon the whole city was affected. And this is kind of the idea of a temple and the life of Krishna consciousness. That if I move in this way, in the Sri Rish Upanishad, it is said that one who works in this way can live for hundreds of years, can live for 100 years. Because he's not creating any friction. He's in the flow of the spiritual world. So this is our actual purpose. Sankirtan movement, we're meant to be ambassadors of goodwill, ambassadors of the spiritual world. And that's what's attractive, actually. So that can be cultivated and practiced. And when it is, it's contagious. And that's what everyone wants. A little bit of loving kindness, that's all anybody's asking for. They don't want anything else. When we were going door to door recently, we've been going door to door like mad people in California. We discovered door to door Sankirtan a couple of years ago. So we were going to Walmarts. You know Walmart? You have them here? They give us permission. We never knew back in the 70s and 80s that people would give us permission if we just went and asked. It was a revelation. We always thought we had to climb over the wall or something in order for really to be Sankirtan. Lots of people say, sure, fine. You look like civilized people. Why don't you do that? You have nice things to offer. Please come ahead. Anyway, we got permission at many, many Walmarts to do book distribution. In fact, we just in front of the Walmart, we'd set up a display of Srila Prabhupada's books. Talk about a contrast. You know, these box stores, don't get me started. Box stores, they're like, you know, just They're built for efficiency, how to move more product. And they make the soul sick, actually. Everywhere you go in the world, you see the same franchise. And the vibration that comes from that is that you know, we don't care about you. There's no personality to it. It's just come in, get your thing, and go. And nobody knows you. You won't see the same people twice. And if you do, they're too busy to talk to you. Anyway, I'm... During the Christmas season, they didn't let us work to Walmart because some other group, the Salvation Army, is traditionally there. So we started going door to door. And door to door, you get to see inside everyone's house how they live, and you get to offer them something beautiful, like a Bhagavad Gita, and put it inside their house. Recently, when I was in Toronto, we were going door to door with a group of devotees, and... So I was with my wife near cooler. We were going down the hallway in one long corridor full of doors, and I was we were knocking on a door. So I knocked on one door, and there was a elderly lady behind the door, and she started saying, "Go away, go away! I'm not going to open this door now. Go away!" And so we went to the door across the hallway, and I knocked on that door. And the man opened. And so I was talking to him, and the lady from behind the door kept saying, "Go away, go away." And then she started yelling at the man, saying, "Don't open the door, don't open the door. You don't know who they are." She was afraid what was going on in there. And so I kept talking to the man, and the lady went silent after a couple minutes. And then I was still talking to the man, and she opened the door a crack, and she goes, "Well, what is it?" That's what everyone wants to know. What is it? There's millions of books out there, millions of seminars and movies, everything. Everyone's trying to find out what is it. They really want the real thing. And we're able to go and give that to people, what they really, really want. I guess I'm still answering your question. I don't know. But it's really about... It's you know, the Sankirtan movement, it can't be stopped when there's this pure intention. And it goes from house to house, town to town. It's not based on some formula. It's not based on a formula. It's based on this intention within the heart to please the Lord and a determination that I'm going to surrender no matter what. If you have that, you can't be defeated. In fact, somebody recommended me this book written by a general from the U.S. Marine Corps. It's called Warfighting. He said, "You have to read this book." So I read the book. It was very interesting. And in it, the general pointed out that oftentimes small armies defeat big armies. Why? Armies don't lose battles because of having less firepower. They lose it due to attrition because the members of their force give up, because the leader gives up. If the leader doesn't give up, then the small army can actually defeat. And there's history after history of this happening, how a small army defeats a bigger army. And so what's involved in a Sankirtan movement, or any movement actually, the movement of anything, is what's in actually the heart of the person. If there's a determination in your heart that I'm going to surrender to Krishna, if that's actually there, if you've actually examined inside your heart and you say, "I'm going to do this, I'm going to surrender. I don't care where I am right now, whatever it takes, I'm going to surrender." You become a conduit for spreading Bhagavad Gita. This movement is about surrendering to Krishna. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papibhyo moksha shami masuchaha. Krishna's come and he said, "Just surrender to me, I'll wipe out all your debt. And don't worry." And we believe him. So when that spirit is there, and we're feeling happy ourselves, and we're dancing through the world and dancing through the temple, we should be so happy to see every person. That's the nature. Well, there's a book by Ranchar Prime that came out about Prabhupada here in England. It really touched my heart how Prabhupada came out. He was walking with some disciples. There was a drunk on the sidewalk. Saw Prabhupada and his entourage, he held up his bottle like this. Prabhupada with his cane, clink, clink. Yeah. What does that mean? It's coming from Prabhupada's heart. He knew. Man, from where he was right now, he was offering. He was offering, okay, this is good. I like you. And Prabhupada reciprocated, clink, clink. It's all in the clink, clink. You have to find out that factor within each person and connect. That's what Sankirtan means. That's the joy of life. There is no other happiness in this world. And you can't have a movement without it. It's dry. What the happiness is when that connection is there. So we have to surrender ourselves, be merciful to ourselves, and give up. And once we give up, we become very powerful. And that is, give up the idea that I'm going to stay in this material world. Something. Pragosh Prabhu. Okay. He has a question, and then it'll come.
My question is,
well, there's 4 minutes. Okay. Okay. Arigato.
Thank you very much for a very nice class. Thank you. I was just thinking...
Well, it's not over yet.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe it'll never end. I was just thinking of the connection between philosophy and culture. And, of course, you're presenting philosophy, but very much you're presenting the culture as well, very much in the answer to the last question. And you were quoting Isopanishad, and I was thinking of a kind of sister verse in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna, if one sees Krishna everywhere and everything in Krishna, then they're never lost and Krishna never disconnects from them. And then I was thinking of, a tiny little story. I remember many years ago, we were doing one festival, one of these kind of music festivals. And, you know, we had our tent set up, kirtan, and some talk, prasadam, like that. And then some devotees had attended that festival, not really to participate in the preaching side of things so much, but more participate in the festival. They were sort of devotees from a different era. But they had some trimmings of being devotees. You could kind of see that maybe, you know, some of the clothes they were wearing or whatever, that type of thing. But one of them was drinking beer. And one of the kind of guests that came into the tent started talking to that person and was identifying them as a devotee, but then asked the question about, well, I thought you guys didn't drink beer. And they quoted, they said, well, Krishna's the taste in water, and 98% of beer apparently is made up of water, so therefore, you know, Krishna's a taste in beer too. So when you were saying, quoting Isopanishad, and also that verse in Bhagavad Gita, to some degree, it can give solace or even justification to people, say, for instance, criticizing devotees, etc. And also it can give maybe some lack of shakti to devotees to actually deal with situations like that, because the philosophy can be, well, it's all Krishna's arrangement, it's all coming from Krishna, yet we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita and other Shastra how, you know, dealing with those situations, we have to do it in a proper way, Vaishnava Parada, etc. And we saw how Lord Chaitanya even went out of his lila in relation to Jagaya Madai and summoned the Sudarshan Chakra because of offenses to his devotees like that. So those verses, yes, everything's coming from Krishna, everything is Krishna's arrangement. We should see everything, as the Lord's arrangement. At the same time, as far as culture is concerned, and implementing these things in our lives, you know, can you give some sort of context in how to balance those two things?
Can you just rephrase the question in one sentence?
That's impossible for me, Prabhu. No, I can't. Maybe somebody else can, if anyone else understood what I was saying.
Well, let me try. You want to try to rephrase it? Yeah.
People read the Vedas and screw out their own meaning in order to justify some behavior which they know is incorrect, but to which they're so attached, they're looking for some justification. I'm wondering if that's what he's referring to. People who misuse the Vedas to justify illicit activities.
Yeah, you know, a violent priest or a non-violent policeman are never welcome. The policeman, sorry, I can't help you. In fact, I felt aggravated before, you know, being in public and then being harassed by somebody, and then the policeman says, sorry, you know, we can't do anything about it because it's freedom of speech on their part or something like that. It's a bit ridiculous. So there's mercy also in not just that there's a flow and that everything's Krishna's arrangement and therefore it doesn't matter what happens. But there's also a movement that takes place by knowing Siddhanta. Siddhanta Bhulya Chitena Kara Alash. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami says that we should not be lazy when it comes to understanding Siddhanta. Siddhanta means not just what something is, it also means what it isn't. And he says in the next verse that by discussing thoroughly threadbare what the Siddhanta actually is and understanding how to act properly, what the philosophy is and how it's applied, then one becomes very determined. So then I have determination when I know clearly. Of course, he's saying in relationship to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when we understand exactly who he is, then we'll move in service. So it's very important because when there are misconceptions, I see it in the devotee community, in our devotee community, in ISKCON, that when there are misconceptions about Siddhanta, then there is a lack of movement. The movement comes from knowing where we're going, knowing how to move properly. Pramanais tatsaracharais tadabhyasir narantaram bodhayanat manatmanam bhaktim apyutamam labhet. The Lord said to Brahma, Pramanais, you have to take praman from the Shastra. Pramanais tat saracharais, and you have to have sarachar, you have to have good behavior. Tarabhyasir, and then you have to practice it. Abhyas means you have to do it regularly. Then you can awaken a love for God. And if there is a misconception about how to move properly or what's acceptable behavior and what's not, then the devotees can be delayed and they won't move forward. When there's some controversy and it's not discussed openly, so, this goes to this point of guhya makyati prichyati, this idea of expressing one's heart, hearing others. In this assembly of devotees, there is meant to be a safe environment in which devotees can discuss the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and what to do and what not to do. Safe means there's no hidden agenda. No one wants to hijack it, but they really want to find out what it is. This is called satsang. Satam prasangam mama virya sambido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata. Lord Kapila Dev said, in this kind of assembly where people actually have a honest feeling that they want to know what the right thing is and they discuss it among themselves, there may be contentious debates about it, but they have the right intention within their heart, then you come to the point of purification. So your point's well taken, and we our society should have, any society or anyone who's progressive in spiritual life should make an arrangement whereby which they can come together and discuss the philosophy thoroughly threadbare to understand what's correct and what isn't correct. And in applying and administering the correct way of moving, we should also have compassion, because sometimes people have difficulties in spiritual life, and therefore Krishna says, "Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadureva samantavya samyav yavasito hi saha." We should also see that if they have, if they're doing even the most abominable action, if their intention is to be aligned with devotional service, then they have to be considered saintly. I think I used up a lot of. Okay.
Small comment.
Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Small comment. Maharaj said, my Guru Maharaj said, on your comment which you just mentioned about CNN news, we should all practice BBC news, which is Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and chanting. So we should follow BBC.
BBC. Nice. Okay. All right. Yeah. Did you have one last question? Okay, last question.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for a characteristically inspiring class. Prabhuji, my question was regarding, you're talking about preaching, going door to door, going out on the street. But often we find that devotees, it's very difficult to begin. I know from my own experience, starting book distribution was very difficult. But once you get into it, you actually realize that it's such a nectarian service. So what really stops devotees from really going out there? And how can we encourage and inspire devotees?
They got to learn the mantra. You know the mantra? I'll teach it to you. It's really easy. I'll say, you repeat. You ready?
Yeah.
Book distribution,
book distribution
is fun and easy.
Is fun and easy.
Book distribution
is fun and easy.
Is fun and easy. There you have it. It's fun and easy. It's the most natural fun thing in the world, and anybody's, you know, so it is fun and easy, and there's a way to make it more fun and easy, and one of the ways is to not put any pressure on anybody. You know, nowadays we don't have to put any pressure on anybody, because there's been a sea change as far as how all our temples are managed and taken care of. This is what I see everywhere I go. Previously, there was we depended on book distribution to fund the temples, to buy properties and all these kinds of things. Well, for one reason or another, I don't know, you know, who knows why, you study the history, but it's not, we don't have that anymore. So now devotees can go out just for their own purification. And what we do in our area, which is Northern California, is we encourage devotees to go out as a sadhana. And that it's fun. And that when we organize a party of devotees going out, we tell them that the goal isn't to distribute books. How about that? Sounds like a heresy, doesn't it? Yeah, I tell devotees that the goal isn't to distribute books. Don't even worry about it. Don't even distribute one book. The goal is just to go out and touch the pavement. And once you've done that, you've completed your goal. Does that sound easy? See? Book distribution's fun and easy. So once you do that, and I also tell people who are coming out for the first time, I said, no distributing books. You can't distribute. You have to watch for at least 3 times. And what happens is, the ones who are naturals, they'll disobey what I told them, and they'll start distributing anyway. And the ones who are shy, they feel they have full permission just to stand back and watch. And then also we tell people that our prime directive is to leave everyone with a good impression. Now meditate on this. If everyone's just thinking about how to make a good impression on everyone they meet, then their natural demeanor and the way they move about when they go out on Sankirtan, it will be so appealing, not only to them, but it's such a fun thing to just go out and see how you can make a good impression on people, that it just becomes fun. So you don't have to worry about numbers. They come out of their own accord. You just have to worry about a few basic things and keep it fun and easy. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.